Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Somehow we managed to snatch a draw from the jaws of defeat. And then quite possibly could have, should have went on and won it. What an absolutely mental game of football. I don't think myself, Ian or Connor or anybody watching this has yet recovered. It is like 5 minutes after full time, 10 minutes after whatever it is. I was, with about 5 minutes to go, coming onto this with a completely different mentality. We will discuss the same, well, we'll still have the same discussions we would have had had Ravi Matondo not scored goal of the decade. But you cannot sit here and be absolutely ecstatic with a draw after what we just witnessed in that 98 minutes. Normally you'd be sitting here after a draw at home with all your supporters and you'd be raging that you haven't won the game. But after what was one of the worst 45 minutes I have seen from a Rangers team, and I do not know how long, and I'm including Michael Beale in that, I'm including Pedro Caixinha in that, that first half performance was absolutely woeful, to somehow manage to come back, get yourself on level terms, give away a goal 2 seconds later, and then still manage to snatch a draw. I don't think any of us can sit here and go, no, I'm raging with that. You have to be ecstatic with that draw. And again, it's all in our hands. So welcome. Welcome to the Rangers Rappel podcast match reaction. I think I just want to go to my bed. Ian, how are you?
Well, the ambulance is still on standby outside my house just in case. Oxygen at the ready. Defib pads on charge. I tell you, I think it's going to take me a while to recover from that. The adrenaline's going to keep me going because I've got another long night ahead. But Jesus Christ, I couldn't have been any more upset than I was at halftime. And then, like you say, coming at the back of it, ecstatic that we've actually got the draw, but ever so slightly disappointed that we've not walked away with all 3 points. It's weird.
It's very weird, Connor. It's very weird. First half, we were worse than dreadful. That was like watching a junior team try to play football. And do you know what? Second half, we put a bit more pressure on Celtic, but I still don't think we were great. We still didn't really create much, but we managed to get a draw. Which sounds so defeatist, I know. I know how defeatist that sounds, but it's a great result.
But listen, in the context of how that game was going, you can't deny that it's a great result, because ultimately, as you say, the first half is, I totally agree, it's the worst first half I've seen us put in, possibly ever. I mean, it was a disgrace. 21 seconds on the clock and Tavernier's already sleeping at the back. That's unacceptable in these games. You're going to come under, see, particularly with them being the away team, you're going to come under that wee bit of pressure early on, because they want to silence the crowd. That's what they want to do. the same way that actually we kind of did that at their place the last time round. The difference was obviously Dessers didn't take the chance, as we know. So we should have expected it. But for that goal, I just don't know. Tavernier's not even paying attention. He's looking away, holding his hand up just to go, don't worry, I've got this, and just totally ignoring that Dyson Maeda, who, listen, for all people might say he's not the best player, he does have absolutely blistering pace. So if you don't pay attention to him, he'll beat you to the ball. And you're on mute.
Just an incredible work rate.
Yeah, exactly. And Tav just didn't show that at all. But you think, okay, 20 seconds in, okay, it's 1-0. It's not over. You've got plenty of time to get back. Just calm it down. But we couldn't string two passes together on that first half. And it was just constant pressure. But wasn't it for Jack Butland? I mean, Gareth Southgate was in the crowd watching today. And okay, he conceded three, but there's nothing he can do about any of them, really.
Is that true? Yeah. We'll come to it.
Maybe. But certainly, the saves he made, particularly for, I think the O'Reilly header, for me, is probably the best save. That's an unbelievable piece of goalkeeping. That keeps you alive, but we need to start these games a million % better. Because if we had played the way we did for most of the second half, even without, as you say, creating clear-cut opportunities, then I think we'd have been okay. But it was a hard slog in that first half. Although I must say, I wasn't feeling quite as defeatist about it all, as a lot of others might have been. I certainly wasn't thinking, right, season's over.
I was. At halftime, I was, season's done. The mentality we have shown in that first half in a big game when it mattered, and that's the performance we put in. Yeah. As soon as that halftime whistle went, I get in my car and went for a drive. I thought, season done.
No, I get that. I think the only, and it was perhaps clutching at straws, to be perfectly honest with you, just clutching for a bit of hope, was the fact that I thought, well, under come on, we have been behind in a few games in the past where we've struggled and we've managed to, you know, get ourselves off the canvas and show a bit of fight back. And I was just hoping, more than anything else, that we might do that. And to be fair, we kind of did. But good God, I do not ever want to see a first half like that again in a Rangers shirt. And I'll tell you now, and I know we're going to it, there is a few players for me who have absolutely finished their Rangers careers today in terms of when the summer comes. Because that level of performance isn't acceptable in a Rangers jersey.
I mean, we have said that in the past. We have said that with players in the past. I mean, I think what everybody's got to remember, and people know, people watching know, this is immediate match reaction. So your adrenaline's still pumping, and you maybe, and it's happened in the past where we've said stuff that you then later reflect on and go, maybe I took that a wee bit too far. But we have said that in the past, Ian, about players, about that's it. And I'm guilty of it as well. I've said that about Borna in the past. I'm done. He should never pull on a Rangers jersey again. And we've said it under, what's that now, three different managers we've said it. And a lot of the same players, Ian, are still there.
They are, but I don't think they will be this summer. I don't think that Clement's going to stand for it. It's the same players. I'm not saying that Diamande had the greatest game in the world. He needs to calm down and actually pick what he's doing. But for the most part, it's the same players making the same mistakes in the same games over and over and over. And Connor's already touched on it with Tav in the first 21 seconds. You just need to roll that back to the goalkeeper, and that's sorted. Let Butler deal with it.
Is there any excuse, Ian, that can be made for that? I mean, it's 20 seconds into the game. Has he just not checked over his shoulder? Does he think he's going to get the pass away before Maeda gets it?
Should,
and this is maybe a bit harsh, should Jack Butland have done better with that? Or is that just totally out of the blue and it's too quick for him to react?
If you watch the replay, Tav is like, I've got it. Like Connor says, he puts his hand out to show that I've got it. He slows down, which is dangerous when it comes to Maeda anyway, because we talked about it in the pre-show that Maeda's, if nothing else, he's quick. Butland's gone back a couple of steps to give Tav the option to play it in. So if you're going to play it out, you launch it out. You don't side foot it trying to put it out on the floor. You just launch it into the top tier of the Sandy Jardine stand. You don't try to put it out like the way he did. I mean, Maeda knows nothing about what actually happened, but he's put the pressure on and that he's got the result that he wants from it. But Tav's not alone, but it was the... I think it's the quickest and earliest for fuck's sake, Tav, I've ever shouted, and it's the biggest one he's ever done. But Goldson, he seemed he was awful. Lundstrom for me was awful. Lundstrom's had one good Old Firm game, one in three seasons, and that was the Cup semi-final when we were that weird year where we won the Cup, but could have been so much better. That's the only decent Old Firm game he's ever had. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known it. Scott Wright didn't even know he was playing until he got hit. When he ended up on the floor rolling around, that's when I realized he was still actually on the pitch. The list is familiar. And at the end of the season, when we are looking at who's staying and who's going, I think there needs to be a long, hard look at the ones that have been here far, far too long now. And it's time. We need to change it. I'm not saying we're going to throw everybody out, but a lot of them can go. And nothing will change between now and the end of the season for me.
I know. Do you know, Connor, it probably took me until the penalty for Celtic to actually process what had just happened in that first 20 seconds. And I'll ask you the same as I asked Ian. It's a fluke goal, right? It is a fluke. These things do happen. But how did that happen?
I mean, that is the million-dollar question. I think it's a combination of Tav not being aware of his surroundings. I think, you know, you have to understand, and Tav in particular, he should know. He should know by now. He's played in enough Old Firm derbies to understand that you don't get time to just slow down and calmly deal with a ball. You just don't. And he knows that. You know, you're not playing fucking Ross County here. You know what I mean? He's got to be smarter than that. And he just, I think, completely takes his eye off it, thinking he's got it. And then in terms of Butland, well, you know, I'm a goalkeeper, so I'm always going to be in the goalkeepers' union. I don't personally think he can do much. I think he's done the right thing in terms of coming out as he has done to that side to try and make himself bigger and block off the angle. But it's took him completely by surprise. He's not expecting that's going to end up being fired at him. He's expecting to have near to deal with it. And I agree with Ian. I think, yes, I see some people in the chat saying, look, he has tried to clear it. It's a bit unlucky that it comes off Maida. It is to a degree, but he's put himself in that position. And really what you should do is, as Ian said, just put a laces through it. Put it into Rose Head. Who cares? See, even if I know we're not great at corners, right? But if you've got to put that out for a corner, you take that and at least you give yourself a chance to organise at the back and try and deal with that. You know, you take that over conceding that goal all day long. So I think it's just, you know, he's not had himself into the game quite yet at that stage. You know, I think that ultimately sort of causes the goal. But, I mean, I think you've got to say, in terms of a neutral point of view, it was not exactly a defensive masterclass from anybody in that game today. And that maybe spares Tav's bushes slightly, but no, he just completely switches off. But then, to be fair, what I will say, I do think that because Tav's looking away and he's got his hand up, I think, to Goldson or whoever it is, they should be giving him the shout and telling him that Maida's behind him because they can see that. I'm pretty sure it's Goldson. He can see that Maida's there because he's looking in that direction.
No, but 20 seconds into a game, you should be really aware of your surroundings.
Oh, no, so, I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
There's no excuse.
No, I'm not trying to mitigate
that. Play the simple pass back to the goalkeeper and they don't score.
Yeah, no, 100%. Totally agree. You know, there's no mitigation for Tav, but I just wonder maybe that shout could have came. But you've got to be aware. And I think that's what happened. He just wasn't aware of his surroundings at all.
Can I just say to Beep, Beep, Bop, Boop, I've got your super chat there, buddy, and I will bring it up just shortly when we come to talk about the defence. I'm not ignoring you just in case you think I am. But I am going to bring this up from William Campbell, this super chat right away, because I can understand where he's coming from. And by the way, thank you for the support, William. Celebrating a draw, we are Rangers, nothing but win. And Ian, I get that. I completely understand that, right? And I'm not sitting here ecstatic because we've got a draw in an Old Firm game. I'm sitting here happy. Let's say happy, right? I'm sitting here happy that we've got a draw in an Old Firm game that we simply did not turn up in.
Yeah, I can categorically say that I am not celebrating a draw in any way, shape, or form. I'm not celebrating it. Because my wife, said to me at halftime, "So what happens if you get 2-1 second half? Will you be happy?" I was like, "No, because we need to win this." Mm-hmm. But considering we were 2-0 down at halftime, when it should have been, not easy for me to say, 3 or 4. And if it wasn't for Butland, it probably would have been. To come away with something at least means that we haven't handed the initiative to them as yet. We're still in our own, it's still in our own hands what happens. And from being 2-0 down, if someone offers you a draw at half at full time, you're going to take it. And it's particularly when you go 3-2 down with very little time left and you get back to 3-0, you take the draw. It's not ideal. It's not brilliant. I'm not celebrating it. I'm just relieved we got it.
And that is exactly, that's exactly the point, Connor. It's a difficult one because I hate dropping points against Celtic, right? And we had the opportunity today to go ahead of them and then go 5 points clear if we beat Dundee during the week, right? So that was massive. That was absolutely massive for us. But at the same time, not playing well, the manager, we'll talk about the manager because I think he got a lot wrong today. Mm. And I think he really, and it's the old phrase that everybody hates, he really needs to learn from that today. And he needs to make some subtle, he needs to make changes going forward, because if we continue to play like that, we will drop points. There is absolutely zero doubt about it. But I don't think the importance of Rabbi Matondo's late equaliser can be understated. I really don't. That is a massive, massive goal. As much as we were sitting here, Connor, and we were saying, look, draw's no use. We have to win. Of course we have to win. But we lose that game, the ball's in their court. We threw it, the ball's in our court.
Well, exactly. Look, I said, during the week, we're talking about this, I think it was Monday night or whatever, and I was asked whether it was, a must win today. Now, obviously, going into every Old Firm, it's always must win, but I had made a case that, well, it's more must not lose, because the difference for us as compared to them is because we've got that game in hand, we still have the initiative. We can still go top on Wednesday against Dundee, although I expect to see some changes in that game. I think that's the part where we're not celebrating, but we're relieved because we still have that slight initiative. Yes, it will obviously make it a very difficult run in terms of, we're going to have to go to a couple of difficult places. I think we'll need to go to Tynecastle, I'm pretty sure. I know we need to go back to their place at Parkhead, which is not going to be easy, but we also have to reconcile with the fact that the performance level that Celtic put in the first half, that's probably the best performance they've put in all season in a first half, to their slight credit to them as well. But, they don't typically turn in that performance every game for the start, and we know that. So we can only do our business, and as it stands, if we win every game, we win the title. So that's the relief factor. That Matondo goal keeps the title alive. If we lose that game, I just can't see how we'd have bounced back in terms of trying to win the league. Because if we lose that game, then Wednesday's game becomes a moot point, because all we could have done was get back to a point behind them.
We still have to go to Parkhead. So, exactly. I suppose, actually, if you're looking at it that way, the ball's in both our courts. That's where the draw leads us.
That's exactly where it leads us. But you'd rather that than, as you said, the ball being in their court. At least it's still in the balance. We're still in, fighting and plugging away to try and get it. And I think that's where the relief factor comes in. And I know, some people mentioning that I'd seen on Sky Sports about, because we're going around clapping the fans and that at the end of the game, that, I think it was Neil Lennon or something saying, oh, well, I wouldn't have been doing that my day celebrating the draw. I don't think the players were necessarily celebrating the draw. I thought, this is brilliant. I think they were like us. It was just an outpouring of sheer relief, because they recognise that they were staring down the barrel there, and they managed to somehow rescue it. And it's the same with the crowd. So I think you just have to...
Is that not a guy, albeit with Hibs, that done a helicopter celebration when they drew 5-8?
It is, yes. Uh-huh.
Albeit with Hibs, I get that, but still, he's celebrated a draw, so he's popping mints.
This is true. Aye, that, bear in mind, that was a 5-8 draw from them being 3-0 up after about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think the next couple of weeks, the next couple of games in particular, will tell us more about what this result will do, because you can go any two ways here. You can take that result and go, right, puff out the cheeks, we've got away, we won there, lads, but we showed a bit of character to fight back. Let's go now and take care of business elsewhere. And vice versa, it's going to be interesting to see how they react, because for all intents and purposes, we might be relieved better. They'll not be relieved in the slightest, because they were 2-0 up and should have been more. You know, to them, that's the way I view that. Only in the context of the way the games went, that's 2 points thrown away for them as opposed to 2 points thrown away for us, because realistically, we've rescued a point.
It'll absolutely feel more like a win to us, 100%. It'll feel more like a win just because of the way the game panned out and how late we scored the equaliser. Look, I've got quite a lot of super chats here. I'm going to get to them in just a second. In fact, we'll go to Charles first. Thank you very much, Charles, for the support. Take 3-3, but let's not kid ourselves. That was woeful. They should have been 4 or 5 up. Philip Clement got his subs right, but our players' performances was dross, especially FH and Fabio. Not for me, overrated. Hits the deck too much. Now, Ian, I was starting to lose the plot a bit with Fabio Silva. The diving that he was doing, let's call a spade a spade. The jumping about, the rolling about the floor, barely being touched. How often do we have a go at Kyogo for that, right? So you can't sit here with a straight face and then not pull up Fabio Silva for it. And we were 2-0 down at the time when he goes down rolling about the floor. Barely touched. I can't even remember if it was a free kick or not, right? It might have been a free kick, I can't remember. But he's rolling about, get back up, got on with the game. We're 2-0 down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and just want to clear something up for everyone who's asking, who's at FH, it's first half. I lost count of the amount of times I said in that game, get him off, get him packed, send him back to Birmingham because I'm done. He offered nothing, because we were saying before the game that big players come out in the big games. We didn't today.
No.
Other than Benfica, I don't remember him really coming out in any of the harder games we've had. Anyone who had any inkling of possibly getting him in full time, which is ridiculous anyway, because of the cost it would be, they can wrap that now, because he's not got it. If he's not got it to play for us, then he's not that good a player. He can't do it in Scotland, then he's not that good a player. I just don't think he offers enough in any position. Yes, he's probably better quality than most in our league, but we need that game, this game particularly against Celtic, we need something from him, and he delivered nothing. And the amount of time he was on the floor, I don't know if he was cold. I know we've got like 26 mile of undersoil heat, and maybe it was warmer down there than it was standing up. I don't know, but it's just, so frustrating. Just the amount of times he could actually have done something if he just stayed on his feet instead of rolling around. Because you're not going to get free kicks for whatever he was trying to get free kicks for. It doesn't happen, not in Scotland. It works in the EPL, but it doesn't work up here. And if we've got somebody better to put on that left-hand side, which I do believe we do, then...
Can I just stop you, Ian? Sorry. from heart and hand, obviously, at the press conference, Brendan Rodgers claims it wasn't a penalty and that Silva simulated. Now, I know I'm jumping well ahead here, and I want to come to... back to Charles's point in terms of they should have been 3 or 4 up. They should have been, but also Connor Goldson misses what is an extremely easy header from a corner, which could have made it 1-1, right? But I want to go on this point from Brendan Rodgers, who, as we all know, after a game, win, lose, or draw, is an extremely cool character, never gets his cell in a muddle, never makes an arse his cell. So he's claiming that Silva dived, simulated. Chris Sutton, who I thought, and maybe this is just the blue-tinted specs, right? Maybe this is just he's hurting my feelings. I thought Chris Sutton's commentary today was pathetic. I thought it was embarrassing, and I thought he could not hide his bias. And we've just done a show on mainstream media and how they can be biased and how they can talk nonsense and how they can keep conspiracy theories going. And Chris Sutton tried his absolute best to do that today. Now, let me tell you what a Category 1 ref who's refereed at the highest level in Scotland, who has no affiliation to Rangers, who is nowhere near a Rangers supporter, right? And the other one who he works with is actually a Celtic supporter, right? So he has said, for me, it's a very soft penalty, as I thought Silva was going down. Anyway, his antics previously didn't help, but I can agree why it was given. Contact, however minimal, right? And that's the point here. Contact, however minimal, now means it's a penalty, right? Silva is clearly kicked on the leg, right? However minimal the contact, it does not matter, Connor. It's a penalty. That's coming from a Category 1 referee.
Yeah. I think, you know, on that basis, if, you know, that's what the, you know, the, as you say, Category 1 official is saying, then I think we have to go with that. I have to be honest. I do think it's an incredibly soft penalty. I think he is on his way down. That being said, Alistair Johnston has to be smart enough not to slide in the box. Because when you do that, you do leave that door open. I kind of felt for John Beaton today. I really did, because even before the ball was kicked, no matter what he did today, you know, it was always going to cause controversy one way or another. I think in the main decisions he gave were probably correct. My only question is, well, it's twofold, right? I think if he doesn't give that penalty and sticks to his on-field decision, I wouldn't have been on here screaming, saying it's the worst decision I've ever seen, because I could totally understand if he hadn't given that. But I would like to know, given that Alistair Johnston was on a booking, if you're given a penalty there, that potentially could be a second booking. Now, I get double jeopardy falls into it, so that might be what saved him, but I do think that it was a bit of a case where he's probably thought, right, I think it's probably a penalty. I cannot give him a second booking, because if I give him a second booking and send him off as well as a penalty here, good God almighty, that's going to cause havoc.
And right, I don't think John Beaton's got the time to think like that. I genuinely don't think he's got that time to think. I think he's been did he get sent to the monitor for that? He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got sent to the monitor. He's looked, and by the way, I agree with Kazzy's point here. Right, and then I'll take this to you. I think the last angle did prove that he fell after the challenge. And I'm not trying to, I'm not having my blue tinted specs here shouting about, oh, it's 100% a stonewall penalty, and he's not, he hadn't been diving, because he had been diving and he was doing my nothing. But I think it proves that when he's on the turn and he's gone past Johnson kicks him and he goes down. Regardless, and like the referee has said, who I will repeat for any fans of teams not supporting Rangers watching, however minimal the contact is in the box, it's a penalty. And he's kicked him in the leg.
I also completely disagree with the fact that he was on his way down before he got made contact. He doesn't start to go down until the contact is felt. And yeah, I agree, it is a soft penalty. But I refer you to Chris Boyd's recent egg analogy. Hard-boiled egg or soft-boiled egg, it's still an egg. So therefore, it's still a penalty. I mean, equally, Celtic's penalty is soft, because I don't think there's much that Connor can do, but it's a penalty because of where his arm is. It's still a penalty. So, but he won't complain about that one, Mr. Rogers. He'll just say that, he'll just go on about this, because now they've got an out as to why they didn't win the game.
Yeah.
And as for Sutton, I watched, because I live here, I watched the Norwich Ipswich game yesterday, of which he was also commentating on, and he was completely different to what he was today. He wasn't biased, considering he lives here and played for Norwich. He wasn't biased in the slightest in the way that he was today. And that's the last time I'll mention him. But the penalty's a penalty. And no matter how soft it is, like the referee has that you've spoken to has said, it's a soft penalty, but the minimal contact, but it's a penalty.
I don't really see how you can argue with that.
Well, to be honest, I think that I think theirs is more of a penalty, because I think Conor Goldson...
Yeah, he's got his elbow out. Stupid.
I'm going to be brutally honest here. It is about time he got punished for that, because there's too many times that Goldson does that. Now, he's got away with it on a number of occasions, sometimes fairly, because it's not all, you know, if it's a ricochet or a deflection on him, then that isn't a penalty. That's just IFAB rules, albeit God knows they don't get forward half the time. But he needs to stop doing that. I get you use your arms when you jump, but he has no reason to have his arm away out there. I do not know why he does that so often. And I think today he's been bummed by it. And I think, you know, like I say with the silver one, there's a few people talking about my comment about what it caused. What I was meaning is to quantify that. That wouldn't have been a hill for John Beaton to die on today, to be given a booking as well as a penalty there. I think, you know, he's probably just about on the balance, got it right. But well, it's hard because you're in the mire of having been relieved at getting away with one there and a derby, and, you know, people in the chat are obviously emotional as we all are. I'm still very 50. I would like to see that a few more times, to be honest with you, because when I look at the angles, there is contact. And as you say, if that is the rules as said by a Category 1 referee, then yes, it is a penalty. I just think that Silva is a very lucky boy that there was contact, because he clearly already decided he was going down. And I've had enough of that, because Cantwell was doing that in the first part of the season far too often. And Silva today, I mean, it was a nonsense. I mean, that one where he goes down and he's holding his face, mm-hmm. for ages, and he's not been touching the face. You know, listen, we all have blue-tinted specs. I get that. But Alistair Johnson's, he sort of pushed him in the chest. It's a booking because it's a clumsy tackle. But why are you holding your face? What is he playing at? And for me, I'd have hooked him at half-time. But, you know, do you know what it reminds me of? I don't know if you guys remember. Do you remember it was at the League Cup final 2011, Nikita Jelovic? Mm-hmm. Awarded a penalty kick. There was contact high up in the thigh. And then, and this was without VAR, somehow without VAR, reversed the decision and decided he wasn't going to give a penalty kick. Probably, I don't know if he's lined
with that. And that was the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It is what it is. I think if it goes against you, you're disappointed. But that being said, I don't think you could use that and go, oh, we threw away a 2-goal lead and then a 3-2 lead with 5 minutes to go because that one incident in the game. I think there's a lot more in that game that happened to create the situation it ended up finishing with, to be honest with you.
I genuinely don't think both teams were great. I think Celtic were the better team throughout the full game. I don't think none of us can sit here and argue that. But I don't think they were great. And they could have easily. I mean, if they've got a fit and fire in Kyogo in these games normally, that could have been 3 or 4-0 at half time. But they weren't good enough to take the chances that they created. And we were just extremely, extremely poor. And with that said, Ian, at 1-0, it's a man that we need to talk about, Conor Goldson. I mean, he's got to score.
Yeah, you're looking at it. It comes off his shoulder, so you're not going to get the control that you would. If it comes off his forehead, that flies in. I don't think, I mean, Hart's not going to have a chance of saving it. It would be bulleted straight in. It's come off his shoulder and gone over the bar. But today, we only had 3 corners in the entire game, all come in the first half. They were all in swingers, and all 3 of them were dangerous. All 3 of them. Tav nearly scored from a corner. Because that's what I was asking for in the first, in the pre-show as well. In-swingers, stop the out-swingers. And if today proves anything, that we shouldn't take another out-swing corner again. Because we were far more dangerous with in-swingers. And I've said that far too much.
And Diomande taking corners as well.
Yeah, Diomande taking corners as well, which is great because we had to do something different because we didn't have Borna or Ridvan on the pitch to take a corner. So we had to do something different. And his corners were decent, both of them. So that's the way forward. But yeah, I just think it's unfortunate in a way that Connor doesn't get his forehead on it. It just comes off his shoulder and deviates over the bar. Otherwise, you're looking at that being 1-1 and a completely different game.
I know, and like we discussed, you know, their penalty is a penalty. I have no argument with that. Goldson's elbows out. Matt O'Reilly, who I thought was one of the best players on the park today, slotted it away. He started to tail off, thankfully, and he got substituted in that, but I thought he was one of the best players on the park. And we go in at half time 2-0 down. And Connor, I cannot remember a time, and I've been angry. We all get angry, right? We all get angry at games where we've not played well. But I don't know if it was just the occasion, the opportunity that we had. You know, it was an Ibrox that had no Celtic supporters in it, it was full of Rangers supporters. You know, Clements get the team back in a title race when none of us thought it was going to be possible because of how poor we've been. And we put in a first half performance like that. I think my brain went into overdrive and I couldn't compute what I was watching.
As I try and get myself off mute, Yeah, I agree. It baffled the life out of me because I just thought, surely you've got to be up for this today. You know, Clermont's first derby game, his first Old Firm in charge, you give him a bit of leeway for because it was very early in his tenure. You know, he hadn't had much chance to try and change that Michael Beale mentality, albeit he puts in a good run going into it. And you could kind of at least go, well, okay, you know, you put your hands up and say fine. And even at that aspect, I think the goals we conceded in that game, certainly one of them is a wonder goal that you can't do much about anyway. So, you know, in that aspect, fine. But today, there's no excuse for that. It felt as if, I don't know if there's a nervousness that comes over our players when we go into these games. And I cannot for the life of me get why. What? Yes, a Celtic are a very, very good team. Absolutely. No, nobody's denying that fact. As much as we'd love to, but you can't. But the reality is, since the last Old Firm game, we have been the form team in the league. We have picked up more points than they have, 7 more points than them. Possibly would be 10 had we got the Dundee game on instead of postponed. And I think the players need to look at themselves and ask, why is it when you go into these games, you seem to struggle, particularly in the early parts? Because for me, you look at the last two, we lost both of those in the first half of the game. Because the first half at Parkhead, nowhere near good enough, end up similar to today, 2-0 down at half time. Or just coming in, sorry, for the second half. Then we get a goal back late. First one of the season again, terrible defending, and bang, that's it. You know, one goal was enough. So I think they have to just give their heads a shake. And Tavernier and Goldson and some of these other players, they've won Old Firm derbies. They know what it's like to win these games. They know what's required to do that. And for some reason, they just seem to have lost their way a wee bit with that. You know, that being said, listen, you know, you have to credit the mentality to fight back, because there's plenty of Rangers teams in the past would have crumbled and wouldn't have come out and put up any kind of fight in the second half. We did that.
Well, actually, just on this point, Connor, that Charles is making, and again, thank you for the support, Charles. Connor, they always turn up against us and we rarely beat them. No excuses.
Yeah, they do, but then...
One win in 10 or something? 1-11 against Celtic?
1-10 now, yeah. You know, the best return we had in recent years was obviously when we won 55 and we won... I think it was at 5 of those 6 games, because we had that one draw. Look, they do get up for it. They absolutely do. And that's on us to do that as well. And it's on Clermont as a manager, quite frankly, because it's his responsibility to put out the right team. And I think that's the key part as well, right? Because you can talk about mentality, you can talk about that sort of stuff. And I know we all come on yet, but, you know, we picked the wrong starting lineup today. There's no getting away from that. And they picked
Clermont,
the right...
Clermont picked the wrong starting lineup today. Yeah, Clermont got a lot wrong today.
And to be fair to Brendan Rodgers, I thought he picked absolutely the right lineup. I think he was right not to be starting McGregor, because McGregor's only just back. You know, he's had a long spell out there. Easy thing to do would be to throw him in, but in fact, he didn't, and he stood by that midfield. I think he's what he planned to do in the first half worked out perfectly.
He schooled Clermont in that first half.
100%. And I think, I just don't know, why is Scott Wright starting all firm games? Why is he starting? I wouldn't start Scott Wright in a game against Dundee, never mind Celtic. And yet he's getting a start in that game. He's hopeless when it comes to these games. He's proven that time and again. And I think that's part of the problem, is that we're consistent managers not picking his strongest available 11 to start, and then, you know, struggling with the pace of the game early on and then having to recover after that. And I think that's causing us the problems. But, you know, yeah, there is no excuses for it. We simply just have to be better. I know it's the cliche thing to say, but it's true.
And Ian, only one sub at half time, which was Seymour for Scott, right? I would imagine that's because Seymour probably wasn't even ready to do 45, to be fair. But I don't think the manager had a choice and he had to bring him on. But I was shocked that it was only one sub at half time.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of talk in our chat that we could have made 5 at half time. There was 5 players you could have easily taken off, replaced them, and carried on and just gone with it from there, which must have been really tempting. But the change was correct. That's the first and foremost, that Wright coming off the seamer was the correct thing to do. I thought maybe Lawrence could have come off at halftime as well, because I don't think he really influenced the game at all. Definitely got that one wrong as well. I think overall, we've proven now that Cantwell needs to start over him. There's an argument. The only problem we had was that up front, we didn't have anyone else we could have brought on to replace who we had. Dessers didn't really get a lot of service, but there was no, if you wanted to take him off, who are you going to bring on? Because there was nobody there. Just the one sub at halftime. Could have been more. It wasn't. But it did make an impact in the game. Seema had a massive impact in that second half. I mean, compared to Scott Wright, Taylor was absolutely terrified of the fact that Seema could beat.
It's amazing what real raw pace without a quality can do.
Absolutely. He was terrified of him. His first instinct wasn't to try and win the ball. His first instinct was to try and bring him down every single time. And it just, that proves that that Scott Wright, let me say, he's a good player. He's not a great player.
He's not a Rangers standard player, but let's be fair. Scott Wright was invisible in that first half.
Over many others. I did say in when we were coming up to the game that he probably deserved to get the start just because he was decent in the game before. But you've got to continue that, and he didn't. So, but yeah, like you say, he wasn't the only one. There was a lot of chat that at least three changes people were expecting. We got the one, but it did make a massive difference, and we actually started the second half a little bit brighter. We managed to get through the first 20 seconds without letting another goal in, so that was a positive.
No, this is very, very true, right? Okay, let's hear from the manager now. This is about 4 minutes long, so I'm just preparing, because normally it's only a couple of minutes, but I think it's important that we hear what the manager's got to say, because I've seen the tagline, and the tagline is, "This is a really, really clear signal from the outside world what this dressing room's all about," which puts a wee bit of fear into me. I'm not going to lie to you folks. But anyway, let's hear what Philip Clement had to say after today's game.
How are your emotions after that today?
In the first place, proud. What the guys have showed. Of course, this is a really, I don't have a good word because my assistants use words that I cannot use on television about this start, but it's the worst scenario you can have to go behind like that in the first minute of the game. Also, to get a penalty against like that is also something bad, and every manager in the world gets stressed out of these rules with the handballs, because this ball is deflected the last split second. So my defender jumps with his arm up, because you need to do that to jump. And he tries to put his arm away, but still it hits his elbow. So that's the worst scenario you can have, to be 0-2 behind in halftime. But the second half, all the boys showed their real personality. And there are so many steps made last couple of months. But this is a really, really clear signal for the outside world what this dressing room is about, and how they changed their mind, and how they are now with a winning mentality, never giving up mentality, and I'm really proud about that.
Let's look at the first half, because you did nearly score just before halftime, but Celtic had chances as well to add to their two-goal lead. What did you say to address that?
Yeah, there are moments I can say what I say in halftime. It's better not that I say it now. It's between me and the dressing room. I'm happy about the reaction. They showed personality, and I think at the end we are clearly moral winners of this fight, of this game. With a lot of passion, everything these supporters want, everything this club wants, everything this club is about, they showed in the second half, and that they need to show the next couple of weeks also in every challenge we have.
Does that sum up the development of this squad on and off the field with a mindset? Because at 2-0 down in the past, it might not have gone Rangers' way. You're able to get back into the game.
I think there's a big evolution in that, and they showed something special today. So it's another experience that we have in the backpack, or the players have in the backpack, because I always believed in that they have the quality to do it, and they showed in the second half. So this doesn't give guarantees, of course, but if you keep on pushing like we did second half, then you can change things around even against a really good team like Celtic.
Just to look at the other couple of VAR decisions, how key was that getting that penalty when Fabio Silva thought he was getting booked for simulation to get back into the game and change the momentum?
It's not getting a penalty. I think everybody's really clear that it's a penalty. He's been kicked against his knee. So it's not getting anything. It's even a little bit pity that he gets a yellow card first for that. But in that way, yeah, it's important. You have VAR these days that there are less faults made. And that's nothing against the referees, totally not, because they need to take decisions in split seconds. And it's so difficult to see everything. We know from every training, because I make a lot of mistakes every training day around that. It's impossible to see everything. That's why VAR is important to have in football.
That contrast of emotions when you think right away you equalise and then there's a foul in the build-up as well. What was that like, and what does it say that the players didn't let that bother them in a sense?
No, it's the big step forward that we don't go in these negative emotions, but we keep on pushing until the end. But it's hard to score a goal, but is disallowed because, 80 yards of the goal, there's a fall made. I saw it back afterwards, and it's not a big fall, but you can give it a fall. So nothing to say about that. But we continue now. And that's a really big step forward with a few months ago. We never stop if the scenario goes not our way. We never stop believing and going full to get the scenario our side. So that's a thing you need in a team of real winners. That's what we've been talking about a lot last couple of months. I want to see real winners, and winners never give up. And that is all dressing room show today. So it's a very important victory.
What happened at the end in terms of the emotions? I saw you on the field trying to calm your players down.
Yeah, I didn't see what really happened or how it started. So I will look at images about that, because I don't want it. I want that we stay calm and after the game also, and that there are no fussy things. So that's why I try to calm down everybody as fast as possible. And I'm happy we managed to do that.
Well done today.
Please.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I know that if Phil can't come out, I don't think anyway at this stage of the season, and really say anything else to what he did there. There's a few things I disagree with what he said. I felt after Dessel's goal was chalked off, the performance did drop. I think we went back into that slow pace, and I think it affected the players for a while, albeit then we came back in to win it. I'm really struggling, Connor, really struggling, and I don't know why, because we managed to claw back and get a draw. But he's talking about a real positive mentality. And I can see where he's coming from, but at the same time, we shouldn't have to come back after a first half performance like that. That doesn't show me a positive mentality that first half. Absolutely, coming back and scoring three goals in the second half, I get it. But I'm on the fence with that one.
Yeah, I think I'm sort of 50-50 on it myself. I think on the one hand, it's absolutely not a positive mentality to put in a performance like that in the first half. Absolutely nowhere near the mentality you need. And that mentality should kick in from the minute that first whistle goes. You should be right on it, up front and across it. But I can see his point in terms of under that pressure and the face of the fact that you're 2-0 down, you've been booed off yet again in an Old Firm game by your home fans, and you know that it's going to take some effort to try and claw something back into this game, to come out the way we did in the second half. You know, we looked a bit more aggressive, a bit more up for it. And that shows a bit of a fighting spirit in terms of, you know, we're not just going to roll over here and and crumble, which, you know, they didn't. So I can see his point in that aspect. And I think as well, you've also got to look at the fact that in the second half, I think for the mentality side of things, you get two major setbacks that happened. You get the high of thinking you've equalised just 2 minutes after you've scored, a goal to get back into it. It's disallowed, which probably the right decision, although I wonder, yeah. I mean,
it's the right decision. It's a foul.
Yeah, no.
It's actually almost identical to the penalty that we got, to be fair, in terms of contact. For me, it's a foul. I've no arguments with Dessers' goal being disallowed.
No, I totally agree. I don't have made arguments with it. I'm never sure in terms of the phases of play what the count it is, because I think my only wonder was the initial effort was blocked for Seema. And I'm just thinking, does that then end that particular phase of play? Anyway, it doesn't really matter because it is a foul and so it's the right call. But again, you get that setback. And then again, you have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and we weren't really creating loads of chances. And then, to be fair, we get our own little bit of luck. Seema strikes it well enough, but it's a hell of a deflection to take it in. But again, straight away, you switch off, you concede a goal. That's a terrible goal to concede. And then again, we fought back and Macondo rescued it. So I think there were aspects of the mentality you can be happy with that we never, to quote Ange, we never stopped in the game. We kept pushing and trying in the face of those setbacks and adversities. However, if the mentality is right from the first whistle, you don't have to worry about those setbacks and adversities because they don't happen.
We never stopped, but at times we crawled. Let's be brutally honest about it. At times we crawled. Ian, he said he wasn't too happy with Celtic's penalty. He said there was a deflection and Goldson's trying to move his arm. I'm sorry. I can't sit here with a straight face and say, maybe if I see it back again, I might have a different opinion. But as I sit right now, I have to totally disagree with the manager for me. Goldson's not moved his arm. His arm's out and it's a penalty. To be fair, he never said it wasn't a penalty, I don't think. Maybe he did, and if he did, I apologise. But I don't think he said it wasn't a penalty. He just said he wasn't happy with it. I can't sit here with any arguments for that penalty being given.
Oh, no, definitely it's a penalty. I've already said it during this, that it's definitely a penalty. It does take a nick off of the Celtic player ahead. But it's a penalty. It's one of those that if it's given for you, you're gladly accepting it. So if it's given against you, you've just got to suck it up and take it. So like you said earlier, that he's got away with a few and today it came back to get him. So definitely a penalty. You can't argue with it. But I mean, it's not come out like Brendan's come out and said that it was never a penalty. It should never have been given and all the rest of it. And I'd just like to point out at this point, then while we're talking about decisions and stuff, that John Beaton had a decent game for me. I don't think he did really anything wrong. I think he left the game impeccably. The VAR stuff. The only thing we're going to nitpick and say that, you know, like Maeda, constant fouling, gets one booking, and Johnson should have been sent off after the silver thing, but that's just nitpicking. Overall, I thought he had a decent game and can't really complain about any of the decisions he made.
Aye, to be fair, I think maybe in the first half, and there could have been a couple of Celtic players booked, given yellow cards, but in fairness, he was trying to let the game flow, and to be honest, I don't really mind that. I genuinely don't mind that when a referee does try to let the game flow. He came into this game with so much pressure, Connor. There was every corner of the media was carrying on this conspiracy nonsense about him. And again, I can't sit here and go, and I can't point out to an absolute howler that he's made.
No, me either. I think he's had a good game. Look, unfortunately, because we got a penalty, that's all it's going to be talked about for the next week. He'll get a fair battering for that, which I think is totally unfair, because I think on the whole, he had a good game. Look, I was honest enough to say about our penalty that I'm 50-50 on it, but I think letter of the law says, you know, it is a penalty. I think, you know, there is contact. That's why Nick Walsh sent him to the monitor, because obviously he thinks it's a dive. It can't be a dive if there's contact. Therefore, it's a clear obvious error. So I do think he had a decent game. I think as well, see, to be fair to him, he showed a lot of bottle. I mean a huge amount, because not only have you come into this game with all the pressure on you, with everything that's been said, with a manager in the opposition dugout who has thrown you under a bus a couple of short weeks ago, but you've then had to go to the monitor and make three humongous decisions, especially in the context of title races and stuff. And he's managed to get, I think, all of them just about correct. I think penalty's a penalty. I think the disallowed goal, which is a huge one, by the way, because that would have put us 2-2. At that point in the game, the way things were going, I think we could have seen us going on and winning it, because I think their heads would have just dropped. And he showed the bottle to do that, which a lot of other referees, I must say, have failed to do at times. So I'd give him credit for that game, you know. And I hope he gets the credit he deserves, because I thought he had a decent game. You know, you'd be nitpicking, as Ian said, to think of other things, and that's what we do. But no, I can't really fault any of the big decisions he made.
No, to be fair, maybe if I watch it back, I might have a different opinion. But as I sit right now, normally after a game, if you've got a really serious disagreement with a ref, you know, don't you? You definitely know that he's made a mistake. But to be fair. Ian, we go 2-2, Desmond. Seema gets the goal. We're all on cloud nine. We're thinking we've actually managed to rescue a draw. And I want to bring up this super chat as well from Beatbot. But John Terry Butcher Suter was impeccable today. Well, we go 2 each and we're all jubilant. And then literally 2 seconds later, it's 3-2, which I couldn't believe. It took the wind right out of my sails. I thought that was it. I thought it was over. I don't think Suter covered himself in glory. I don't think Butland covered himself in glory for that goal either.
It's the same goal that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. It's the same goal we're conceding. Much like Connor, as a goalkeeper, I'm gonna kind of side with Butland. If you look, it's a very good finish from Ida. This first and foremost, it's a good finish. He moves it out of his feet and he hits it quick, so Butland hasn't really got time to set. And it's in that area where I can throw a leg at it or I can throw a hand at it, but neither one of them is going to get to it. So I'm not defending Butland and saying he can't do any wrong, but it was one of those where he's moved it and hit it in one motion. So therefore, it is really difficult for a goalkeeper to get down quickly to get to that. And when I say I'm a goalkeeper, I'm nowhere near the level of Jack Butland. It's the sort of thing. He does commit quickly at times. I mean, overall, I think Beep Bop Boop, because I like saying the name, is correct. That he was probably, particularly in the second half, one of the better players for today. But just at that moment, he does have that because, again, I think it's got more to do with the fact he's not playing on his natural side, that it causes him to sort of overthink it and dive in too quickly. He's not covered himself in glory, and from the elation of getting to 2-2, considering how badly we had played, to 3-2, I thought that was it. We're done. There's still time, but we've done all the hard work to get to 2-2. I think my thing was that the mentality of the players at this point, I think they've got to 2-2. It's now 3-2. I don't think they've got it in them to do it again.
Well, and even CGM saying, Connor, should Butland have saved the third? And there's a few comments saying if he stays on his feet, he can save it with his legs.
Possibly. It's probably the only one of the three that I would say, yeah, he might have had a chance of saving, but like Ian, you know, goalkeeper's union, I think. You've got to look at your defenders there. I do want to point out, because he wasn't mentioned, I think Dujon Sterling definitely has some responsibility for that goal as well. Let's not kid ourselves. I know he's been brilliant for us, but he's there and he just totally misjudges it. And it goes through his legs to get to Eden in the first place. He really should be able to stop that. Then him and Suter get into a bit of a tangle with each other and can't get out of each other's way. So I do think he has to bear some responsibility there too. Because quite frankly, we've got a 2-on-1 with our defenders there. Either shouldn't get a clean shot away. And I think, you know, as I say with Butland, I can see why he's going down, because that's what you do as the goalkeeper. But if he stayed on his feet, yeah, I think there's a chance he might save that with his feet, because it's not in a corner, it is sort of fairly straight at him in that aspect. And when you're diving with a shot like that straight at you, you've got to get down very quick, otherwise it's under you before you hit the deck. And that's what happens. So, you know, as I say, I'd certainly hold Suter and Sterling far more responsible for it than I do Butland, but I think they all probably could have done a little bit better, yeah.
And I mean, look, fair play to Butland, he kept us in the game. He was absolutely outstanding today, and I'm not going to say anything different. And obviously, Gareth Southgate's at Ibrox watching him. Hopefully, that's done his England chances a world of good, because some of the saves he pulled off today were top class. But do you know one thing that really annoys me? And it's obviously nothing. Well, I mean, it is something we can do about. We can do. But their strikers, when they first come into their club, always score against us. Hugo comes in, scores goals. Edouard came in, scored goals. Dembele scored goals. And now Edis came in and scored goals. Our strikers don't do that.
Well, we've only really got one striker, and that is Dessers. And he did score. But
when was the last time we had a prolific striker against Celtic?
I mean, even you look at it, I mean, even Morelos was
Kenny Miller, even when we were in the Championship, when we played Celtic, he still cropped up the goals in that Scottish Cup semi as well. So he's probably the last prolific one we've had. To be fair, though, we've not really had the chance to see what Danilo can do in that situation because he's been injured. So I do think we can maybe hold out a bit of hope that he comes back, he can maybe help that. But I think Dessers and anyway, Dessers gets a goal chopped off or something, it's not his fault. So to be fair to him, you know, he's a bit unlucky not to be on the score sheet. But yeah, I agree. I don't know what goes on. I don't know why your strikers seem to struggle. And it's not a new thing. Because think of it, Chris Boyd.
Aye.
He didn't recover himself going against Higgins. Was it once? Maybe twice? One goal. So, you know, and he's the top goal scorer in the SPL. History and scored plenty against him for Kilmarnock in his time there, just when he pulled on a light blue Rangers jersey.
I don't think he did score a lot for Kilmarnock against
him. He scored more for Kilmarnock than he did us. I think I may be wrong, but
only in his second spell, I think.
Yeah,
but anyway, but detracting from the conversation, I was putting that out there. Their strikers come in and they seem to just hit the ground running against us, and others just don't for whatever reason. And maybe that's something that we can look at in the future. But Ian, Rabbi Matondo, I absolutely adore and love that man, and we should give him $100,000 a week. That was an outstanding goal.
Okay, get ready for it. That goal was sex on a plate. There we go.
How big a plate are we talking?
The biggest plate you can find. The biggest plate there is. We all thought the one against Hibs was good. That one, the one against Hibs is just small fry compared to that. That was just, that's goal of the season right there. It's right there, goal of the season. I can't take saying much more for him. He gets that ball. The confidence he's now got to be able to do that, because I think even Crocker said it in commentary that he's done that before plenty of times this season, and it's ended up back tier of the Copeman stand. So snacks on a snooker table, take that. Plate too small. Well, it depends on the plate. I mean, you can get some really big plates. Today Matondo starts every game now between now and the end of the season for me, because he did something that Silva didn't do. Took the ball, cut inside, had a shot. Silva did not do that. Yeah, but
100%.
We're not going to give that man any more airtime. Not doing it.
No, it's a channel member, so I'm bringing it up.
More importantly,
the longer that we don't give people like that airtime and we don't pull up what they're saying, the longer they just get away with talking absolute mince. And I thought Sutton was horrendous today. I'm all for having a slight bias, right? See, when it comes to decisions or goals, you have to be impartial. And Chris Sutton was not today. And I think Sky need to take a look at himself.
Also, if you go to their third goal, he didn't get far enough away from his mic. You could hear him cheering.
And listen, they do it with English football and all. Carragher and Neville celebrate goals when their teams are playing. I get all that. But when you're talking about decisions, I mean, he's been right in on Silva calling him a cheating that when it was a penalty. And then, of course, you'll take it back to the studio. And I haven't heard, but I'm guessing Lennon doesn't think it's a penalty. I don't even know who else is in the studio. McFadden probably doesn't think it's a penalty. And then Boyd does, and they're all arguing about it, and they're making a big song and dance about it, because that's what Sky love to do, because they really don't care about Scottish football. But Connor, hurry on. Say that again?
Apparently, there was a TikTok Todd comment at the end as well from Sutton.
But that's just the type of. Am I allowed to call him a wanker now, or is that a hate crime?
No, I think that's okay.
Is that all right? Well, that's because Chris Sutton's a wanker.
I don't know. Unless you're discriminating against all people who are wankers, I think you're fine.
Right. Well, if it's a hate crime, then he's not. If it's not a hate crime, then he is. Right. That's we'll go that route. And I think Cuddy's making the best point, Connor. That is potentially a league-saving goal.
100% it is. Like I said, this game very rapidly became must not lose. Just get a point, and that does save the title purely because if you lose that game. And they're sitting 4 points in front of you, albeit with a game in hand that we've got a point behind them going into the split and knowing you've got to go to their place really would make for tough feeding. And looking at the teams who are going to be finishing in the top six, you don't see many of them causing problems outside of maybe Hearts who could nick something off them, albeit we still got to go there as well. So that could be problematic for us. And I think that does save the season for now. I mean, and what a goal to save it. There's not. I mean, quite frankly, I cannot believe the commenter there saying that Sutton said that was lucky. I mean, I didn't hear that personally, but good God almighty, that's not lucky. That is just an absolute moment of brilliance. That's what that is, a piece of class. You know, there's nothing lucky about it. Yes, I'm sure, listen, if you're looking at the Celtic point of view, right, you would say, well, you know, maybe our defenders can close that down. Maybe that could have been prevented. And you can have those arguments.
Every goal can be prevented.
Every goal, that's exactly what I was about to say. Every goal can be defended if you look at it that way. Ultimately, Rabbi Matondo has done today pretty much what Kyogo done in the last game. He's pulled out a worldie. And you could put three Joe Harts in that goal and it wouldn't be saved. It's just it's a piece of class that's rescued us. And, you know, thank God, because for a while, it's that he was trying those shots and they were gone miles wide. And now he seems to have. I don't know if he's been working that in training, but he seems to be really have honed his craft there. So, no, it absolutely has saved the season for now.
100%. And William Campbell coming back in there, my apologies, guys, not celebrating, more relieved, and that's exactly what we all are. And thank you so much for the support, William. And he's now a channel member as well. If you want to become a channel member, albeit I'm guessing most of you who do won't like the colour of your name when you become a channel member, but unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about that. But thank you for the support, William. And if you want to become a channel member and you're watching on a computer, then you can simply click the join button below the window on YouTube. And if you're on your phone, the link for it is in the description. And another super chat, actually. And I want to, in fact, before I bring up Craig's super chat, I want to give a special mention, Ian, to Kieran Dill. I think he deserves it. I thought when he came on, I'm not going to say he was outstanding, but he calmed everything down. I thought he actually played pretty well. And I thought he helped us when he came on, considering he's had basically next to no game time.
Yeah, coming in out of the blue as well, just out of nowhere. There he was, like an RKO. well, you've got to get a WrestleMania plug in somewhere. He did. I think someone put it in our chat that he did what we were expecting Diomande to do today. Gave me one heart attack moment because he did probably our best cross of the day across our own box, which terrified the life out of me, but we got away with it. But he got on the ball. He drove hard. He played some good balls. I think a fully fit Seamer gets to that ball in time when he played it in behind Taylor. I think he did really well. Hopefully, between now and the end of the season, he can get a consistent run of match time to either prove that he should still be here next season or at least put him in the shop window so we can get something back. And he moves on. But I thought he came on. He did exactly what we needed him to do. So fair play to Kieran Dow.
Yeah, absolutely fair play to Kieran Dow. And our very own Craig, Connor. We could be in a situation where we win the league and don't win a single Old Firm. Unbelievable. I don't care if we don't win a single Old Firm game and we win the league. I'll be brutally honest with you. But I do feel that I actually think Celtic are in pole position because they have the home Old Firm game. And if we win all our games and they win other games and they beat us in that, they win the league. And, of course, vice versa, or we manage to get a draw there. But we are in a position where we could win the league without winning a single Old Firm game.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Normally, you always say that if you're going to win a league title, you're going to have to beat them at some point. And that's probably true. I mean, look, there is, you know, well, we've got seven games to play after this, they've got six. Reality is that I think Wednesday becomes a massive game in its own right. I mean, they're all massive games at this stage of the season.
Every game's huge.
I think you need to follow up that rescue job for the day by getting yourself back on top and at least apply pressure to them. Because the one thing we do have to see, and I don't think you can overlook it as a factor, I feel as if that Dundee game being called off and allowing them to get back to the top of the table with us having the game in hand, I think if they come to Ibrox today 2 points behind us rather than a point in front of us, I think you might see a slight difference in how they approach it, because they might have been a little bit more nervous about it. I think the fact they had got an upper hand allowed them a bit more of a freedom to feel happier. But what we've seen this season, and we've done it a couple of times, there's a couple of teams in that top six who've been thorns on their side. Hearts have taken points off them twice this season. You know, Kilmarnock have done the same. In fact, I don't think they've beat Kilmarnock yet this season, if I'm correct in saying that. You can only hope that before we have to go there, obviously that depends on when the split fixtures happen, because we could be playing them in a fortnight if the split fixtures go that way, which I hope I'm not, by the way, because my heart rate won't be down by then, so let's not do that. But you just hope maybe somebody can nick a point or two off them and we can, you know, take care of our business. But it's not going to be easy. And listen, if we win the league without beating them, brilliant, whatever. You know, I think if we draw at Celtic Park, sorry, Wilf Parkhead, then that's the situation we're in. If we win on Wednesday and we go too clear, then we can afford a draw there as long as we win every other game.
Yes and no, because that's on the conviction that we go in and win every game, which, you know, we've looked a wee bit ropey the last few weeks. I'm not going to sit here and lie. We've looked a bit ropey. And I mentioned it to Ian before we started, the space that we leave in the midfield, and especially in that first half, Celtic just dominated that midfield. And that terrifies me. And look, we're going to finish up shortly. We're back tomorrow night with a phone in at 7:30. So everybody can get their thoughts in, and people can get phoning up. And we can certainly discuss more of the game, because there is so much more we can go into. But, you know, Lawrence starting, and I said to Ian before in the build-up that I've not been, you know, not been really happy with Lawrence's performances. He's not been on it, and he was a mile off at the day as well. So that's all well and good, Connor, if we can then go on and win all of our games. And we're going to have three away games in the split. They're going to have three home games, which is massive, especially if we have to go, and I've not worked it out in my head, but if we have to go to a Kilmarnock, you know, if we have to go to a Hibs, or however it's going to work out, I don't know how it's all going to work out, but right now it's 50-50 for who wins this league, and that's what that draw's done today. I think it's just made it 50-50, and it's who's got the ball to go and finish it and win it is obviously going to win the league. And after that first half, I'm slightly less confident than what I was after that game at Kilmarnock that we'll go on and win the league, as David P likes to remind me. I think we'll leave it there, gents. Thank you for joining me, Ian and Connor. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure, if you haven't already, to like and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, before we started, we were exactly 100 people away from 10,000 subscribers on the old YouTube. So if you haven't already and it's your first time tuning in, please like and subscribe and follow us on all the socials. The links for that are in the description. We're live on Facebook and Twitter. Do all the follow, sharing and retweeting on that, or Danny call it X, I don't know. But there we go. So we got away with one today. We were extremely poor, but we managed to get a draw at Ibrox. And all is not lost, let's put it that way. So thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow night, right here at 7:30.
Sports Social Podcast Network.